Am I on? Good. Thank you. Well, happy Father's Day to start with, right? Many some fathers here. And such a privilege to be, Pastor Ralph was telling to us that the church is just came back last Sunday. And this is the second Sunday of in-person and first guest speaker. So I said to him, great privilege and responsibility. Actually, this is the first church since March we work in Brazil and Canada, but have been based here for this whole time of the pandemic. This is the first church that I'm speaking in person. I have been doing lots of lives and online, but in person, it's the first church since March of last year. So thank you very much for having us here today. Lisa and I have been ministering in Brazil and Canada for this last few years. Our concentration was in Brazil for 14 years before that. And so we want to use our time to do a couple things. One is to give you an update, a little bit of our family, some familiar faces. You were the second last church that we spoke to before pandemic. So a little bit of follow-up on that, a little bit of update on our ministry, how it went for this last year and so of pandemic. And then we're going to share a word that God put in my heart for us this morning. So, Lisa, I'll let you start with the update on our family that's right there on the screen.
Well, it's such a privilege to be here. And I know I'm going to get emotional just because of the truth that Kathy spoke this morning, that as sons and daughters of God, we are family in Christ. And it's like we're home with long-lost family, and that's very emotional to me, as I'm sure it is for each of you. What a wonderful thing, family in Christ. We have brothers and sisters no matter where we go. That's a truth that's always touched me very much as we've traveled distances and been away from our blood relatives, to know that we're always among family. And today, God just ministered that to my heart, that the longing to be with family. Many of you have been separated from family for some time, as we have. It's a privilege to give an update. I know many of you, I would love to hear your stories as well, to get an update on how it's been going for you. But this morning, it'll be just a few minutes to give you a chance to share about our family. I also wanted to mention that it's such a Father's Day gift for my husband to be in his father's house. Nelson lost his dad last year in May to COVID. He wasn't able to be there, and he did the service online. But my husband didn't have a chance to just speak publicly. God has always been my husband's true father. He's lived that out. His father left home when he was 12, and so he didn't have his father in the house, although they were always in touch. And God has always been his father. And so what a gift to be here in his father's house on Father's Day. And we are blessed, Nelson, by you and your rootedness in God, your father. So that's an extra special gift today. Thank you, Sue. So onward to our kids, Gabriella, our daughter, she's our oldest, and as you've all accompanied her, a lot of you have accompanied her since she was very little, because we've been connected with this church for so long. She is getting married this year, in August 21st. She has been living in Budapest, Hungary, for the last 4 years, and met a lovely young man from the Netherlands, at a church in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, and they are anxious to get married, so COVID's not the best year to get married, but in their desire to have a God-honoring beginning to their lives together, they are anxious to get married. So as many of you have been distanced from family and funerals and maybe weddings and birthdays and graduations. I ask you to include us in your prayers for your own family, include us, because at this moment we cannot get to the Netherlands to be part of that celebration. And the desire of our heart is to be there for Gabi's wedding. So that's Gabi. She graduates in December. She's been doing her degree in architecture and has such a desire to serve God as an instrument of His in bringing beauty and order into cities. That's always been on her heart from the time she was a little girl, to serve God as an architect. So we're excited to see where she'll go with that. Her husband-to-be is a farmer. And so this is going to be interesting. We have a city girl marrying a farmer, potato farmer. We're not sure how that's all going to pan out, but but God is good and has shown them much favor. Luke, our son over there on the left, is in Victoria with us. We've had the chance to move back in with my mom and move in back in with our son at the same time. When we came back to Canada, our son was living with my mom, and the parents moved in, and it's a very interesting situation. mostly a blessing. He's finished his schooling at University of Victoria in April, and we're very proud of his how he has been maturing and in his studies and with his in his relationship with God, and we've had a chance to be home with him. Our youngest, Danny, on the right, he's 15 now, and we homeschooled for the first few years. When we came back to Canada in 2017, we homeschooled in order to stay flexible with our travels. But Danny entered high school this year, and so is now part of the public school system. So pray for him and for his mother. Many blessings and some challenges there as well. So there we are. There's our family. Our kids have grown up, and you've all been accompanying that, and we're so thankful for this big family of Christ that supports us in prayer and in other ways through this journey, and therefore supports our children, and they've been blessed by you all. So thank you. God bless you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, my wife. Thank you, Lisa, for honoring me and my dad and the fathers today, right? That speaks of who my wife is. A little bit about our ministry, Steve, if you go to the next slide. Our mission hasn't changed since the last time I came here, right? And I hope you won't change that's going to be the season until we finish, to help equip the church to be an effective agent of transformation in the lives of individuals, in communities, and in society. And our ministry for the last 10 years has been pretty much with the church, helping to equip the church. And the next slide shows pretty much the two areas that we work with. One is with poor communities, transformation. When you talk about God's transformation of individuals and community, we work with poor communities, ministry, keeping children, families, and with young adults, young professionals, transformation of culture and society, because we believe that the power of the gospel is such that it does not only transform the individual, it transforms community. The principles that God gave to us in His word from creation are for the flourishing of individuals, but also for the flourishing of communities and nations. God has a plan for the nations. God has a plan for individuals. God has a plan for nations to flourish. So we are equipping these young professionals. They are finding in this milieu of insanity that we are these days, of so many narratives being thrown at us. I say things are so insane that truth is suddenly becoming an alternative again, because we are not establishment anymore. But God's truth is eternal. God's principles still work in my life, in our lives, in communities and nations. And they are, God is raising, if you ask the young people in Brazil that you work with, what are you doing? They say, we are building a nation, because they believe in their vocations, in the arts, in the education, in media, and economy, and all these spheres of society. They believe that as they become agents with God for God's kingdom to advance. God brings transformation to communities and nations. So that's what are the two groups, the two focus of our ministry. And then I just have a few, that's our most recent newsletter, the work with the poor communities in Brazil. During pandemic, a lot of the development work that we do had to also come and do some assistance, some relief. And so many, we are so thankful for the churches in Canada who have been investing not only in us, in our ministry, supporting, but that support has gone also to help kids and families in Brazil suffering with the pandemic. Many poor communities in Brazil, like you cannot imagine the situation. So many churches in working with locally with Vila Feliz and working nationally with the Center for Assistance and Holistic Development, we have been able to come alongside them to help these families with basics, and this is a picture of one of the kids in one of the communities saying, what have you given thanks for today? We are giving thanks for you, because many of them I was just reading a report yesterday from Brazil, and they were talking about how many of the most vulnerable during this pandemic have suffered, and it's because of aid and relief that many of them have been able to stay alive, actually. So we talk about the basics, and we thank you, Highway Christian Fellowship, for your support of missions, not only in Brazil, the missionaries that you support, because you have no idea how far your support and your commitment goes. So we are thankful. And during the pandemic, God has expanded. We have been saying to the churches online, lives, and pastors that we talk. What has happened to us actually during the pandemic is that God has expanded our ministry. We are doing Zoom way before pandemic started for many years with working with young adults. Of course, technology media is high in their priorities, and we have been doing developing courses and schools and meetings, gatherings, and so Zoom and technology was part. So when the pandemic came, actually things just expanded. Like the Corandale Basics course, that the next screen that you showed, Steve, is a course that you part, actually before that one, I think, too, yeah, right there, is one course that it's our main equipping course for developing, equipping individuals for the transformation of individuals, community, and society. That's the main course. It's actually part of the Disciple Nations Alliance. We work with them. And that course, we translated into Portuguese. And so we had 500 before pandemic started. During the year of pandemic, that doubled. There's 1,000 plus people students accessing this course. And not only in Brazil, because we translated to reach and equip the church in Brazil, but now we have started to receive students and calls and messages from students in Angola, Mozambique, all these Portuguese-speaking countries, Portugal, Guinea-Bissau, Cape Verde. So God has expanded really the reach of this course and in this ministry. And I guess the other thing that I'm going to highlight, there are other things, but you can jump. I'm not going to highlight everything, Steve, but you can jump the probably two slides, this and the next one. Go to the next one. Is that even during pandemic, Lisa encouraged me, and with our homeschool group, I was able to mentor, to teach, to be the Bible component of the homeschool for six boys, grade 8, 9. And out of those lessons, 21 lessons, came a book. The Disciple Nation Alliance saw this. They said, Nelson, let's publish this and make this available for the general public, for our network, global network. So we published Made to Flourish, which is a biblical map for youth toward an expansive horizon. So it gives a biblical review for youth to root themselves and their identity in God and who He is, and as the King of Kings who calls us to be kings and queens under Him, and to be agents of transformation. So that curriculum was developed last year and was just published beginning of this year. So God has been expanded the ministry. There is other news that I could share with you. I'm going to leave it there because I want to share the word with you too. And so please continue to pray for us. We We are, after pandemic, we are, I have talked to a few pastor friends. When pandemic came and there's no accident, one of the passages, the scriptures right in the beginning that I read and that jumped to me from the Bible was that passage when King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream in the book of Daniel, and Daniel is called to interpret that dream, and the dream is that huge tree, and the tree is cut, and the interpretation of the dream is that God is going to remove the kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar. And then the verse says, until you recognize that heaven rules. So that verse, that those two words became a theme for me during pandemic. Heaven rules. We are here going through all this unexpected, strange season of pandemic that nobody planned for. But it's still heaven that rules. So that has become a theme for us. And I have said to many pastors in terms of the church, it's almost like God brought a disorientation to the institution, not to the movement. The movement of the Spirit continues to grow, and nothing can stop the wind, right? Nothing can stop the wind of the Spirit. The movement of the Spirit continues to grow. The institution got a little bit disoriented, starting with the media, right? And the technical part of having to come now, how to reach people and communicate with people who are not inside the building. So the institution was a little bit disoriented, but God is bringing a reorientation. There is a purpose in that. And so we are so glad to see things opening. And the question is, how are you going to go back now? Are things going to be the same as before? How God wants to move us next now? So that's a good question for churches, missions, that we're going to have to deal with. And my theme today, coming to the message now, and by the way, Kathy led the worship, right? Kathy and Megan? Megan, right? At the end of the worship, I felt that I could go home already. I got it. I already got it from God. And at the end of worship, I was ready to go home. You don't even need a guest speaker today. God spoke to me. So the songs, the hymns, and being back, right? Like being back in church. Anyway, it's so exciting. But last time I was here, and I'm moving out to the other PowerPoint, Stephen, sermon graphics. The last time I was here, right before pandemic, actually, I spoke about the three S of the parable of the sower. I spoke about seeds, soil, and sower. The three S's of the parable of the sower. And I ended my sermon with this quotation from my former professor, Eugene Peterson. He says, in the next slide, Steve, the harvest is inevitable. Decisions are seed. Attitudes are seed. Acts are seed. Prayers are seed. Thoughts are seed. All of it will come to harvest. And I want to continue. That was in end of January last year, 2020, right before pandemic that was here, and I spoke about those things. So I was one of the last, if not the last guest speaker that you had in person right before pandemic. And here I am back. There's no accident here, right? You believe that with me, right? Here I am back as the first guest speaker after things start to open up, right? So I want to continue on that theme, response and harvest, how one directly impacts the other. And now I want to talk not about the three S's. Actually, I'm going to turn the alphabet around. I'm going to talk about the three R's, okay? But no alphabetical order there. But the three R's of God's covenant with us, okay? And my text comes from Jeremiah 31. Verses 31 to 34. By the way, every time I go to speak in a church, I always pay attention to the worship and what goes on before I come to see if God confirms the message in some way. That's for me. That's not for anybody else. It's for me. And my text today is from Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34. And Kathy just read this morning Jeremiah 31. I haven't met Kathy for more than a year and a half. 31:3, right? She read that verse there in 31, verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Like the God of covenant speaking to his people. And then the chapter is going to go on. And the text that I chose for my message this morning is later in this same chapter, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. When God speaks of this covenant with his people, he says this: "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Why is covenant, why this theme is so important to bring for me, to bring to you this morning? God put that in my heart. The word covenant has lost its significance. We have, in many ways, replaced the word. How many times do you hear the word covenant these days? We have replaced it with contract. We hear about agreements, so on, so forth, other words that replace that. And they impart different ideas, right? More superficial ideas, actually. But none of them carry the power of the biblical word covenant. And it's interesting, Darren Miller, we work with Darren Miller in the Disciple Nations Alliance, and he says that if you want to change culture, if you want to change culture, and this culture has gone through a completely change, complete change, right? The establishment is no more what it used to be. But if you want to change culture, you have to change language first. Talk about changing culture, you need to change language. So a baby is not a baby anymore, right? An unborn baby is not that's not the language that you use anymore. If you want to change culture, you need to change the language. So you start there. And I could give you many other examples in our societies, some marriage and so many words that you need to change, right? Truth is another one. But covenant, what our Western culture has done with the word covenant is another example. When was the last time you heard on the news or the media the word covenant? Can you remember? If you want to change culture, you have to change language. And the arts are the first ones who are going to caught the ideas and make the change, right? So there are implications for that. Interesting for us working in Latin America. I think I have a picture of the book in my slides there, Steve. There is a book that written by Jose Gonzalez. He's an Uruguayan who came to the U.S. early when he was 10 years old. He grew up in the U.S. He's now probably 70, 75. That's the book. He wrote this book called Machismo and Matriarchy. And he wanted to look, as a Latin American, he wanted to look at Latin America and ask the question, why is this a problem in our culture, this whole idea of machismo that is so ingrained? The word itself actually comes from the Spanish, right? So the idea comes from there. And so according to him, Jose Gonzalez, He says that the root issue for all the relationships, family problems in Latin America, if you want to find the root problem, he says it is in this concept, this issue of covenant, or a lack of covenant, actually. That's what the problem is, a lack of understanding of what the biblical idea of covenant is, and about a lack of understanding of what the consequences are when you lack an understanding of covenant. He sees that those who came to North America, he looks at history, and he thinks that those who came to North America came mostly with their families to build a nation in the new world, different from those who went to Latin America. In general, mostly those who went to Latin America didn't bring their families. They engage in all sorts of promiscuous relationships with the First Nations women, the black Africans, slaves at that time, in the 1500s. And they came to pillage the nation, really. They came to send things back to their nation. A lack of understanding, Jose Gonzalez says, of what covenant is, that has huge implications and centuries of implications for our cultures. I'm Brazilian. I'm born and raised in Brazil. For our cultures in Latin America, centuries of implication of this lack of understanding what a covenant is, that does not affect only the individual. It affects a whole society, a whole continent, really, Latin America and others. So I think we need to refresh this this idea, this biblical idea of what the covenant is. So the Bible introduces us to this God that we have, the God the Father, the God of the covenant. In many different aspects, the triune God, the God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the God entered into covenant with us from creation. The definition of covenant, I think it's best summarized when, in the words that we just read in Jeremiah 31. God says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. If we had to translate this to contemporary language, it's like, I'm yours, you are mine. That's it. And this covenant of love, this God of love who engages in covenant with us. Actually, God's own name revealed to Moses on the occasion of the burning bush already says something about who this God is. He reveals himself with a name. He has a name, and he reveals when Moses says, what am I going to say to the people in Egypt when they ask me, who sent you? And remember the name that God gave to Moses? He says, tell them that I'm Yahweh, Jehovah. I am who I am. And interesting that the tetragrammaton Yahweh, it comes from four vowels in the Hebrew language. Four consonants. The vowels were included later, inserted later. But that's the four consonants are the root of the verb to be in Hebrew. And that verb to be in Hebrew, it's an atemporal verb. So when we translate in English and in Portuguese too, that God is saying, I am who I am, actually that verb, that verb to be in Hebrew, it could be I am who I will be, I am who I was who I will be. It's atemporal. That means to us that God's name, when he reveals his name to Moses, says, I will be always with you. My name means presence. Ongoing, right? He binds himself with a covenant with his people, and he's present as their king and their God always. He's always present. Even the name in the New Testament, Emmanuel, God with us, carries the same idea that God, the God of the covenant, who enters in covenant into covenant with us, he's always present. There is a relationship that doesn't, it's always there. It's always there. God is always there, right? He's not only there on Sunday. He's there on Monday, too. He's there on Tuesday. He's always there, right? Our lives with God in this covenant, they are fully integrated with this God who is the great I am, and he's always present. So the three R's of covenant, some of you may say, Nelson, you said the three R's, you haven't talked about them yet. Okay. Here they come now, okay? I'm trying to watch my time. Pastor Ralph said half an hour, maximum 40 minutes. I promise that I'll keep that, okay? So I have 10 minutes to do this with you. The three R's of covenant, and that comes from a professor of Regent College II who I have had the privilege of meeting, and he gave the words, he thought about these words. I developed a little bit more. He says the three R's of covenant are revelation, relationship, and responsibility. The three R's of covenant, where they are on the screen, right? Revelation and relationship, they are the Father's initiative, God's initiative. God takes the initiative in revelation and relationship to make this covenant with us possible. Revelation is that which makes it possible for everything else in God's covenant to happen. Christianity believes that the eternal God revealed himself. God revealed himself. Without revelation, it would be impossible for us to find who this God is, the God, the creator of the universe. If he hadn't revealed himself, there's nothing that we could do to find him. So he revealed himself. Theologians talk about the general revelation of God, the special revelation of God. God in this general revelation, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the creation speaks of who God is. Everything that was created speaks of who God is, because everything that's created comes from him. He's not inventing anything in creation. It's his nature being put in everything that is created. So there is beauty, there is goodness, there is truth. Everything that is created comes from him, revelation. And so truth is not created, as many people believe these days. I create my own truth, which ends up being actually a narrative. There is a lot of narratives going on today, but not a lot of truth. So truth is not created. Truth is revealed by the God who is truth by his very nature. There is an objective truth, and truth is powerful. I showed you, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life in John 14:6. And truth, it generates transformation. I showed you those graphics more than a year ago when I was here. And I just want to repeat to you, if you go to the next slide, truth is powerful. We keep teaching young people, young professionals, children in poor communities. We say to them, truth is powerful to transform. God's truth is powerful to transform. There's so many lies on the soil of the lives of individuals and communities, and in the soil of nations, the enemy has planted so many lies that has sucked life out of individuals, communities, and nations. But as God's truth comes to the soil, there's life. Because God's truth brings life, brings beauty, brings goodness. So in the next slide, you have seen me show this one too. And not only that, but the roots produce the fruits. If there is truth in the roots of the life of an individual, a community, a nation, the fruit will be different, the consequence of this. For example, one lie in the soil of our Latin American culture, I just introduced you to it, machismo is a lie that the enemy has planted in the soil of our cultures in Latin America, that man is superior to women. That lie has produced fruits, consequences in our culture that you cannot imagine. If we work with a group of young people and equipping them to be co-agents with God for transformation, bringing God's truth to the roots, the soil, if we start to change that idea with God's truth that both male and female are created in God's image, then you elevate both men and women to the position that God, from the beginning, from creation, intended them to have. And that releases a whole new set of energy when you remove that lie that men are superior to women, that God... and then you're not feeding. I don't want to feed radical feminism. I'm not a radical feminist, okay? Because if machismo, like Daryl says, if machismo crushes women, radical feminism causes the disappearance of women, because the standard for radical feminism is what? Women want to be like men, so it's still men. Didn't change. So the truth of the gospel is that in the of scriptures is God created men and women in his image. So this truth, God reveals his truth to us. And if you go quickly to the next three slides, there is a biblical worldview. That's the story of the Bible, God's story, creation, fall, redemption, and condemnation. If you never read the Bible story with that in mind, that's the Bible story. As that becomes true for people, for communities, for nations, as that falls to the soil, as that truth falls to the soil, truth is powerful to transform. Truth is powerful. God uses us as agents, but we don't transform anything. It's God's truth that transforms. And that's only possible because God revealed himself. Divine revelation. The first R of covenant, revelation. The second is relationship. The second R of covenant, relationship. Relationship opens the door. That revelation of God opens the door for relationship. Not only God revealed himself, but he decided to enter into relationship with those he created, male, female. He enters into relationship with us. He breathes his life into us. And he gives us something that he doesn't give to the rest of creation. There is only human beings receive that from God. And as he breathes his life into us, we receive this, Dr. Houston at Regent College used to call the faculty of spirit. We are made alive in God, in relationship with God, unlike anything else in creation. And this gives us a privilege of having a personal relationship with God. Right? Like Adam and Eve experienced in the garden before the fall. That gives us that possibility. They rebelled in Genesis 3. The fall is part of that story. It's a universal phenomenon that we all experience, the fall, sin. We entered into what the Bible calls condemnation, and the nature of sin is to dehumanize humanity. God creates us to be humans. At that level with him, sin dehumanizes us, deceives us. That's where the word fall comes from. We're not humans as God created us to be anymore. We are less than humans. And that's one of the other works that we keep teaching our young people that we train. We say to them, the job is not only to make people Christians. It's not... to jump immediately and evangelize, and God opens the doors for that, and people need to hear the gospel. But be prepared that sometimes God just wants to make people humans. Because we fell. And these days, the standard is subhuman. It's really subhuman. You look at what's being said in the narrative that around us these days, it's subhuman. This relationship that we alienated ourselves from true, full reality as God established, God brings us back. The cross, right? I put that painting by Rembrandt there. The cross, God elevated us back to him as he elevated his son to the cross. He brings us back to relationship with him, the second R of covenant. God the Son paid the price to reconcile us with the Father and to bring us back into this relationship. We call this the new covenant that I read in the passage of Jeremiah. The God of the Bible decided to redeem us and to enter into this relationship. That's the second R. If you don't have that relationship with God, if you're going to be watching this video after this day, I want to encourage you to seek that relationship, because God opened that door when he gave his son to die on the cross for us. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to go to the Father unless through me. And nothing has changed that truth. The third R of covenant is responsibility, and that's where I want to close here. If revelation and relationship are initiated by God, responsibility is our part in the covenant. Vaclav Havel, a Czech statesman, writer, communist dissident, already died, he said once, the secret of man is the secret of his responsibility. Being created in God's image, we all have been given not only meaning and significance for our lives, but we have been given agency. We have agency. In some aspects, God makes us co-creators with him, co-agents. We are not objects. We are not objects of manipulation, abuse. We're not subjects of statistics for a certain program. God creates us to be co-agents, agents with him. agency, the ability to respond to the reality and the principles that govern that reality that God created. God gave us this agency. Theologians talk about the representative aspect of the Imago Dei. So I take that word and I turn it, if the next slide, I think Steve will say that. It's really response ability. Our ability to respond to God in this covenant, to truth. Because you can respond to brokenness, to the fall, and everything that the fall, that Genesis 3 generates. There's a lot of people responding to brokenness. But the idea here in this covenant with God is that our part of responsibility, responsibility, we respond to God, to who He is, to the truth that comes from Him, to the principles that He established. So where do you have agency today? Here's the question to start to close. Where do you have agency today? In your life, in your marriage, with your children, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your nation, where do you have agency today? We are created by God as agents. You're not called to do everything, but you are called to do something. And as God takes all these somethings together in covenant with us, body, He makes the everything to happen. So our story, as Lisa likes to say, our story is part of God's story. His story. His story. Our story is part of God's story. So, conclusion, this whole reality, if I stop in responsibility, and then I'm going to give that to you. If I stop in responsibility, it starts with God, revelation, relationship, responsibility is our part. It's almost like saying, God did His part. And now, how do they say in Canada with hockey? The puck stops with you. That's the same in Canada, right? I'm not Canadian. I play soccer. I don't play hockey. But the puck stops with you. If I stop responsibility, it's like saying God did His part. Now, it's on your court. And that would put a huge weight on us that does not belong. Because then I'm encouraging all the alcoholics around us. To be busy. The fact is that our responsibility is to fully integrate with the life of faith that moves God's kingdom. Faith and responsibility, they go together. Because as John White says once, he said, faith is a human response to a divine initiative. We respond to God's initiative. As we take our part serious, God uses it to cause the harvest. Back to that. Response and harvest. God causes the harvest. It's responsibility is our part, but the harvest is inevitable, back to Eugene Peterson. As we do our part, decisions are seed, attitudes are seed, acts are seed, prayers are seed, thoughts are seed, all of it, our part, our responsibility, all of it will come to harvest. So, we are called to live in covenant with God, in full integration of faith and responsibility. You are mine, I'm yours. The eternal Father, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has a covenant with you, with me. There's a responsibility that's mine. He takes that, and this covenant of love, He moves, He does everything, and that's our part. So thank you for your support of our mission in Brazil, in Canada. Thank you for taking, for your responsibility. And God has taken that, and He's moving His purposes. So thank you, Pastor Ralph, for this time here. God bless you. God bless this congregation.
Virtual hug, my brother.